We're right near the end of the year, and change is coming. Change, big time change. That tsunami, I really don't even use that word much in my vocabulary, but when I saw that and said that day, that a tsunami of His power, and then the way He worded that, He says, which is equal to saying a tsunami of His love. Isn't that awesome? I wish I was smart enough to say stuff like that, you know. I hear that and I go, I know that's not me, you know. Then somebody, and I'm really sorry, I don't remember who, somebody gave me a word by somebody else that I really don't know, but it was another minister where he elaborated some. His vision was a little more detailed. Same thing. So God's speaking this to His body. God's speaking this. And the Lord was reminding me of times like this, similar in the past, where He was wanting to take Sue and I to the next level. I think I'm going to call this morning's message something like going to the next level. But there's, in order for that to happen, there's usually something that, again, we're not waiting on Him, really. See, He's waiting on us. We're willing to take a wounding in the flesh as long as we can keep our stronghold. Like the cigarettes, you know, or there, it could be anything. It could be anything. You know, my soap opera is, I don't watch soap opera, but somebody might have that as a stronghold. Gossip. Could be anything. Well, I'm willing to take a wounding, but I'm not willing to just really give it up. Come on, you know. But then that analogy of throwing the gasoline on the bonfire or throwing it on the candle, it's the same result. See, reducing the fire is not enough. The fire has to be gone, and that's why He talks about a cross, because a cross is not intended to wound you. He could have used a lot of things, but a cross only has one purpose. It's not to wound you. It's to kill you. So I guess He's going to continue somewhat on that same path here tonight, because this is the year of selling out to Him. And I found out there's more than three idols that I'm dealing with. What are some of the others? You already know they're Nunya. I may later talk to you about them. I may not. You know, not asking you about yours. And we're not talking about... what I don't want you to think is that we're talking about man-made religious stuff. Like, you know, and again, I kind of feel like Dave. I appreciate the old holiness people because they were trying their best to serve God. They wanted to please God, you know. Well, maybe if I give up the jewelry, and maybe if I don't do my hair anymore, and maybe if I don't do makeup anymore. Kenneth Hagin himself talks about, well, finally there was nothing left but Coca-Cola. He gave up Coca-Cola. It's not that kind of a thing, really. You know, we are already made righteous. We are already created righteous and holy. That's not that. It's just trying to walk as who we are. See? And the flesh, it thinks you're somebody other than who God says you are. Have you figured that part out yet? Your flesh wants you to think it's you. That's why that prophecy was so important about you are not your struggles. You are not your struggles. You're really, really not. You are not your flesh. Your flesh is who you're struggling against. That was good. All right. Again, I heard Tim this time when he taught. He's probably said it before. I didn't get it. I don't know why I didn't get it. All of the prophecies are available at daveroberson.org in PDF format from 2007 till today. And now I find out, from 2008 until today, did you know they're not only there in PDF format? They're there in audio format. You can literally listen to them. I did not know that. What a treasure that is. I've already got all those downloaded now. I want that flowing through me, what all the Lord has said. You say, oh, well, that's last year. That's stale manna. I don't need that today, Gary. How about this one from April 7th, 2013? This doesn't sound like today. I'm sure this doesn't sound like anything you're facing today. There are some of you who are afraid that you won't make it. And I will tell you what He just spoke to my heart. He said to tell you that He won't let you go. So quit saying that. And just know, you might as well just give up because He won't let you go. Excuse me. That's not stale manna to me, see. On and on and on as I began reading these. They're just as alive today. He talks through all of these years. He talks about eternal truths that do not change. But it's a father speaking to his children. And as I look through some of those years and knowing some of the things I was struggling with at the time, the ugly stuff, flesh stuff. And he would talk to us like that. We should sometime get a clue. You are not your struggles. He couldn't talk to you like that if we were really the flesh creature that the enemy wants us to think we are. He could not talk to us like that. He's talking to us like that because he sees us as his child. That doesn't excuse us. How did Paul say it? Use not this liberty as an occasion to the flesh. That does not excuse us to just go and give the flesh whatever it wants. In fact, that's the verse. Go ahead and turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. He does expect us to put that flesh on the cross every single day. Well, if I don't, then I'm condemned. Good. That means you have a conscience. It's not him condemning you. I hope you know that. Sin was condemned on the cross. Sin was condemned in Christ. What is it condemning you? So what's the devil? No, not really. Well, it can be. I better expand on that. The devil condemns you whether you pray, whether you don't pray. If you do pray, you didn't pray enough. He is condemnation. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where Gary Carpenter himself knows. I haven't done it. You know, where I sit, ever since he told me that, I haven't sat from 11 in the morning till 11 at night on a Saturday since and watched football, which I did almost every Saturday before that during football season. Now, you women can't understand that. We'll talk about your stuff another day. But let's say I backslid and I did. That's it. I'm sitting here and I'm watching from 11 in the morning till 11 at night, and I'm not even praying in tongues. I'm just munching on Cheetos or whatever. Yeah, I don't even eat that stuff. But, you know, then, you know what? The next day, I feel condemnation and I start rebuking the devil. That's not the devil. That's my conscience. That's that God-given conscience that comes with the new nature that knows what he said to me. And if I don't live up to it, I get a whooping. What if I'm still trying to watch my weight? I would like to tell you that I'm still under 200 pounds. I'm not. I'm 205 as of this morning. I'm close. That's still 30 some odd pounds below where I started. Get over yourself. Or leave me alone. We're not talking about your stuff. You wait till you get up here. He makes you talk about your stuff, okay? You, a lot of judgment falls right off the judge not that you be not judged, okay? Okay? But see, when I'm like this and I need to be under 200, because he wants me under 200 the rest of my life. So am I supposed to be walking free of condemnation right now if I'm 205? No. And the trouble is there's still leftover Halloween candy. This is the hardest part of the year. When there's leftover Halloween candy in the house. And especially when it's chocolate. Now see, that's no temptation to Sue at all. She doesn't even care for chocolate. But for Gary? Twix. Snickers. What's that other one? That real creamy one. Milky Way. Oh, God. Oh, the way of milk. It is a Milky Way. My flesh. And my flesh just reminds me. I'll be trying to be over on the couch praying in tongues, and I hear voices from the candy dish. We're over here. Come get me. We love you. It won't hurt. Lying things, you know. And I'm not, if I'm over there gobbling down candy when I'm already 205 and he told me to be under 200, am I supposed to be condemnation free? No, I'm not. This is a real family. This is a real family with a real father who loves Gary, who's trying to keep Gary alive because Gary's got about 30 more years to preach. See, he's trying to keep Gary and you know, so he says, stay under 200 pounds, boy. And I'm going, you know, what we want to do right there is, what? Surely he must mean something else by that. It's like Zig Ziglar used to say, you know, he says, people tell him all the time, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. And then Zig would say, I don't think it's the part they don't understand that's giving them the problem. You start doing this walk of the Spirit, you're going to have other things besides just the written word. He's going to talk to you. And he expects you, like any father, do that. A father chastening his sons. And he's doing it for our good, not for his good. He's doing it for our good. Well, so let's say we're going through a chastening of some kind. Now, we're not, in this message tonight, I am not talking about persecution for righteousness' sake. I'm not talking about where they come against you because of your stand for Christianity. That's a whole different message. I'm talking about struggling with the flesh because that's the call this year. Put that flesh on the altar so the fire of God can deal with it once and for all. And for all of us, some things have been purged. There's a lot of things in my life that's been purged in these last 20 years. There's stuff that's been wounded. There is stuff that's wounded, that I know is wounded, that I allow myself once in a while, which is not okay with God. But yet he loves me and long-suffering toward me. And he's trying to get me this year, get that on the cross. Or let's say it a different way. Get it on the altar where his fire can purge it once and for all. Trouble of it is your flesh resists like crazy. And the flesh includes the emotions. Have you figured that out? So here in Peter, when he's talking about this suffering, so 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. In other words, you won't join in with their partying. You won't join in with their drinking. And they think you're the one weird. They shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. But for this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but living according to God in the Spirit. Now that's a message for another day. But the end of all things is at hand. So now here comes our instructions. Be you therefore sober. Does he say God will do that for you? Here we go. Paul wrote it this way. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In Ephesians, he said, put off the old man. Put on the new man. Peter, in his first letter, says, add to your faith, virtue, and all of those other things. See, God did for... I hope you remember, those of you that could come to the conference, when I did that message where I had a man put on the Halloween mask. The reason I did that is because at the fall, Adam's nature changed. He was no longer made in the image of God. Every generation produced since is born like I might as well have that Halloween mask on. They're not really created in their spirit in the image of God anymore. And no amount of good works, no amount. Remember, I had one guy, Enrique, I think. I had him up here in a chair, and he's representing Jesus. And so here's, was it Joe? Had on the Halloween mask, and he's the fallen creature. And he's like, he wants to be like Jesus. He wants to be like Jesus, but he's this fallen creature with this mask on. And he's like crawling toward, if I fast, can I be like you? No. You're not of the same species, see. You got Jesus, righteous and holy. And then this creature that's sinful and depraved at its core. If I give, can I be like you? No. If I pray, can I be like you? If I be nice, there's nothing that creature could do. And that's why salvation is completely by grace. It is absolutely the free gift of God. It is received by faith through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that operation of God alone, you go from being a child of Adam to being a child of God. You go from Adam being your father. Jesus is called the second man, the last Adam. He becomes your Adam. And God really is your father. But even once we're born again, now that's a whole new situation now. Now you are born with the nature of Christ. You were born before with the nature of sin. Now you're born with the nature of righteousness. But see, we've got something Adam did not have to contend with. Adam did not have to contend with fallen flesh. I'll tell you, I'll go one step beyond that. Adam did not have to contend with a fallen world. He wasn't anointed to go around healing all who were oppressed of the devil because there weren't any oppressed of the devil. We're not back to zero yet. We're not back to even yet. That comes with the new heavens and the new earth. Right now, we are in a war. We are in a reclamation operation of God, trying to rescue as many souls, spirits, as we can from that dead species of Adam, and going about stopping the work of the devil everywhere we find it. Healing all that are oppressed of the devil. See? That's why there's only one leader, you know, one general, one in charge, and it's Jesus. And again, this is cycling back around to our message. See, in a war, the military, the soldiers, they're all valuable, but none of them get to choose their own agenda. Do they? They surrender the power of choice when they become enlisted in the military. Paul uses this analogy at another place. Okay? So that this whole message about dropping your agendas, well, every war is like that. Every soldier is like that. That's not anything new. I mean, we should all understand that. We are in a war. There's an enemy that is bent on your destruction. But in this life, what we have in our lifetime, in this dispensation, we surrender to the ultimate general, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Say, I got to be right where you want me to be. I am who you say I am. Train me to do what you've called me to do. Put me right where I should be. Whether it's good for me personally or not good for me personally. I said this morning, if he wants you feeding soup to the lepers on a little island somewhere, what is that to Mike Whitmer? He said, yeah, but you called Mike to handle $50 gazillion for the kingdom. Mike, he handles gazillions. And everyone likes Mike all of a sudden now, see. And here I'm feeding soup to lepers. And what difference does it make? See what I do that feel? Do you feel that right there? What difference? What matters is, did you hear him? Yes, sir. Okay, okay. He has to explain my message to me. You know what I'm really doing right now? This is teaching on the second, more difficult part of following God. The first part is kind of hard. Getting to the place where you hear him. It takes some while. It should come more naturally than it seems like it does to his spirit-born children. But you'll get there. But really, that's the easier half of the equation. See, where he's teaching right now is on the second half. And that's being dead enough to obey him when you do hear him. See, that's the harder part. That's the harder part, see. So, when he says, arm yourselves with this same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. we're in like military, we're in boot camp military training in a way. We've got two enemies in a way. There's the overall enemy of the devil who wants you destroyed. But really, the enemy that you're contending with day by day, moment by moment, is the flesh. Dave's vision is still accurate that he saw all those years ago. That band, the thing that's holding us back from revival, really is not the devil. The devil has been defeated 2,000 years ago. That difficulty is the flesh. See, that word and I don't have it where I can just read it again, that word that came this morning, that prophecy from 2013, where he's talking about the inner circle and the agendas. See, that's the thing, the flesh. Those agendas, I use smoking and things because it's easy to teach about, but those are not the difficult ones. The difficult agendas is your preconceived notion of how blessed you're going to be. When he told, you know, when Peter finally surrendered, go ahead and turn there. It's John, right near the end of John. Big John, not little John. Big, good John. I love Peter, partly because Peter's a hard case. Peter was I think he had a head nearly as hard as mine. Stubborn rascal, but loved the Lord. But he just had a different idea of what the kingdom was going to be about than what it really was. And Jesus kept telling him, and Peter would not go along with it. And he still was not, and if you didn't hear that message that I did, was it last Sunday? The recovery of Peter, I'm telling you, that's going to be really important for this next year. You've got to have that one in you. You got to get that. But we could tell, even in the garden, when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter drew out his sword. I love his courage. He says, I'm going to take you all on. I don't know how many people was there, how many men came. And Peter, he drew out his sword, and you know he wasn't swinging at that guy's ear. He was going to take the guy's head off, and he ducked, you know. Peter, what does that tell you, though? Peter's going, no, you will not. He was still of the opinion, you will not arrest my Lord. He will not die. He still was holding on to his idea of what kingdom life would be and his role in it. He was still holding on, even at that point. Now, after he was raised from the dead, Jesus appeared to the man twice. Twice before we get here to John, where we're going to look at here in John 21. And still, Peter, what was he going to do with the rest of his life? He was going back to what he knew. Do you know how many people have come to the prayer center and done that very thing? They wind up just, this is not what I expected. Who was it? And I'm going to say who. It, again today, it happens all the time. People come, they expect us to harness them up. You know, they expect us to put them to work. And it's good intention. I mean, they have good hearts. Alan was that way when he came. It's what he knew for 15 years. He had been the harness guy. You know, he was the guy that ran the book table. He was the one that drove the van. He was the one that arranged for the hotels. And I mean, he was the harness guy. Okay. So when he come here, he's going, I'm ready. Harness me up. And we kept saying, and the other sentence is always, I want you to mentor me. And then Tim and I both, we always do the mentor dance, you know. Oh, no, 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 no. No, we are not your mentor, you know. You know, the Holy Ghost is your mentor. You need to sit right here. You know, pick it. Do you like that one? That's a good seat right there. No, that's Mary's seat. About that one right there. You need to epoxy your britches right there. Just begin to pray. And let the Holy Ghost mentor you. So someone today says, isn't there more things I can do around the church? And I'm going, probably. Probably be the worst thing we could do for you. What you need to do is pray. Not be busy. That's hard. It's hard. It's a whole lot easier to be busy than it is to pray. Flesh dies when you pray. You want to go to the cross? Do you go pray for a while? Add some fasting to that. We'll see who's boss. You find out real quick who's boss. My flesh. Did you know my flesh is a master negotiator? I can still finish a 40-day fast in 4 hours. I'm telling you. I don't know how many of them I've finished that way. You know. No. I don't want the big hamburger. Just a little The little hamburger at McDonald's. Maybe the fries. And I'll leave you alone. Lying thing. Won't leave you alone. Anyway. The flesh wants to be busy and God wants it to die. Same with me. It's easier to this day, and I've been at this a long time, day by day, it's easier for me to get busy than it is to go pray. Prayer is where you die. So anyway, getting back to it, let's talk about Peter instead of Gary, okay? So Peter still, after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, after Jesus has appeared to him twice. Let's pick it up here. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. On this wise. There were together Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I'm going fishing. I can't even tell you the number of times in the last 22 years where a voice in me, which was not the Holy Ghost, is either a devil or my own reasonings. You know, you could still get a job as a driver. You could take a refresher and go back to engineering. You could this, you could that, you know, a different path, something familiar, something, quote, easier, seemed like. Well, I'm going fishing. Well, that's what Peter knew. That's enough. Well, they say, let's not just blame him. They say unto him, we're going with you. So they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And soon then, as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. I'll go ahead and give you this. This is a free bonus. There's no extra charge for this. That verse is what got me into full-time ministry. Trusting him for our provision. He said, look at it now. Even with my blessing on their secular job, and they brought in all that provision, when they came to shore, I fed them out of the provision I had for them. I already had their food ready. Your life is not dependent on this world. Your life is dependent on His provision. Anyway. Now that does not mean don't have a job. Okay? That's primary way to take care of His children. Just read it for yourself in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. That you work with your hands, that you have need of nothing. Okay? But there is such a thing as full time. And if He calls you to that, then you're going to have to learn some things. And I can't go there tonight. Okay, so Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which you have now caught. And notice who goes and gets it. Simon Peter went up. Drew the net to land. Peter, I think, was a big fella. I think he was I like him. 153, that's a lot of fish. And for all there were so many, it was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst or dared ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then comes and takes bread and gives them and fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? For years, I thought he was talking about the other disciples. But you got to remember, it was Peter that went and dragged that big net full of fishes. This is the day where Peter laid down his agenda finally. He's saying, now, Peter, look, you can go back to fishing. I will bless it. Did I not just bless you? I will bless your fishing business. Look at this. Is this what you want? Is that what you love? Or do you love me? You know, Peter says, he saith unto him, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. So he said unto him, feed my lambs. That's the general's instructions for the soldier. That's Christ's mind for Peter's life. That's the Father's will for Peter. But he will not force him. Now, three times Peter had denied that he even knew the Lord. So the Lord's giving him a chance at redemption three times. Isn't that right? Isn't that just like the Lord? You know? So a little different words. I think I'm okay with this. Peter, do you love me? Or do you love the blessing that I bring? The fish. Do you love me or do you love that? Lord, I love you. Well, if you love me, my instruction is feed my lambs. That's a whole different path than fishing. What are you going to do, Peter? So I asked him the second time. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And I know that there's things, if we had time to get into the Greek, I know he used a little different wording here. It's really even deeper than what I'm teaching right now, but this is good enough for today, okay? Because this is really where we are coming into this next year. He says, yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. Peter, if you love me, your life is going to be different than the life of a fisherman. If you love me, you're going to do what I ask you to do. And I'm asking you to feed my lambs. I'm thinking, we're going to find out here in a little bit. Jesus already knows the end of Peter's life. Jesus knows. Peter doesn't know. Jesus knows that he intends to use Peter to open up the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter doesn't know that. He has no idea that if the man in human history, the man that opened up the salvation of God to the Gentile world would be him. Jesus is grooming him for that. Not forcing him. Giving him the choice. Which is exactly what he's doing with us. See, every time that I want to just go in there again because of my old flesh, I want to go in there and just watch football. I know some of you can't relate. See, she's back there going, but if I knew your stronghold, and he was saying, lay that down, just lay it down, just walk away, never again. Die. Ow, die. So he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he saith unto him the third time. And I know why he was grieved. You know why he was grieved. He's remembering. Yeah, I denied the Lord three times. Three times. And I haven't really taught on this at length. I think I mentioned this morning. Finally, I understand why Jesus said back there in Mark's account and Luke's account, if any man is ashamed of me and my words. And he said it right after Peter had rebuked him. You will not die. Right at that moment, he said, if any man's ashamed of me and my words. Part of why Peter denied it around the fire. Part of the reason why he denied it. He was ashamed. This is not what he thought was going to happen. This is not what he thought. Not how he thought it was going to be. He thought it was going to be kingdom and conquer and all of this. We'll teach it that more later. So Peter was grieved. I'm sure he was remembering the third time. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Then he says to him, and something must have clicked in Peter's heart, because here at this moment, you know, how do we say it? The penny dropped. I think Peter, right there, and part of it, I think, now again, when I think, This is Gary's opinion. I could be wrong on this. But knowing my walk and the emotions that when I have failed him, and I have failed him. I know you haven't. Now the blood washes that all away. We're going to make a confession in a little while. But I don't know about you, when I've failed miserably, my emotions talk to me. And I know that Peter's did to him. And he's remembering, he's going, I don't ever want to ever go through that again. And I think the penny dropped and he says, I surrender on the inside. If that's what you want, if you want me to feed your lambs, that's what I'm going to do. Because then Jesus talks, he goes all the way to the end of Peter's life. And he says, truly, truly, I say unto thee, verily, verily, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked where thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, and I got to tell you again, that the Greek words carried more information. That word old, there are several Greek words you can use for old. That one carries age, about the age of senility. So when he's telling Peter that, he's telling Peter, you're going to live to be an old man. Which, another lesson, that's why Peter, just a short time later, could be asleep in the prison when they're promising to behead him the next morning or hang him, however they're going to kill him. He was asleep. Why? He looked, I ain't old. Jesus already told me I'm going to live to be an old man. I don't care what they say. They're not going to kill me. That's anyway. Isn't that great? He had a blueprint. He had a blueprint that got him through a difficult situation. You have a blueprint that'll get you through a difficult situation. When you are old, you shall stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee. Or you would not go there if you had a choice. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Whew. If any man come unto me, if any man would follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. Come and follow me. Peter later, the same Peter, he writes, he that suffered in the flesh, that's the one that has ceased from sin. It wasn't easy to lay down every agenda. It wasn't easy for Peter. I don't know if Peter was involved in any sin. He kind of implied he might be because he said, it's been long enough for us to walk in the lasciviousness of the Gentiles. Whether he was including himself in that, I don't know. But even, I do know this, he had religious agendas that he still had to struggle against later. It was 10 years later when God brought that sheet and dropped it down with all of the animals in it. And he said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter says, no, Lord, nothing unclean has ever gone into my mouth. And that is 10 years after. He was there the day that Jesus said, not that which goeth in the mouth defiles the man, but that which comes out of the heart, that's what defiles the man, thereby proclaiming all foods clean. And he was there that day, but his religious tradition, he still, well, just to be on the safe side, I'm not going to eat anything unclean. And that religious tradition was still causing a separation in his mind where God could not use him at the next level. He was wanting to send him to these swine-eating Gentiles. And in Peter's mind, they were unclean. God had to deal with it through that vision, see? God's wanting to take us to the next level. I wonder how many things are in us that he's been trying this whole year. I'm not looking. Helena's over there. You're not looking at me now, brother. I know you're not looking at me. We'll talk to Mike from Minnesota. Okay. He's over here. No, get back. And I don't know what all he's been saying. But he's trying to get us past flesh things, religious tradition things. Things that we just take for granted, like Peter did, like the Gentiles are just unclean. They surely can't be saved. And he's the very dude. Is that okay? He's the very dude that God has to bring out of that religious thinking in order to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Hey, just because you're a little hard-headed and stubborn, you're in good company. That's why Dave says, when God first started using me, I thought it was because of my massive intellect. Dave always. You know, massive intellect. No, God just found a stubborn streak that he needed. Found somebody just pretty hard-headed and won't quit, you know. Hallelujah. All right. Now watch this. We're going to finish up here, I guess. Golly, this is not what I thought for tonight. Verse 19 again. So after Jesus told him what was going to happen, verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto Peter, boy, I can just see him looking. Do you ever go there? Are you ever there enough where you can see the eyes? I am. I don't know whether they're blue, brown. They're probably brown, I would guess. Those eyes looking in yours. You denied that you even knew him. Now he's asked you three times. Those eyes, after he says all that, he looks right in your eyes and he says, Peter, follow me. Verse 20. So then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That's John. Which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? We know that's John. Peter, seeing him, saith to the Lord, and I like to add this part, I'm going to be a martyr. If I follow you, I'm going to be a martyr. I'm going to die for the gospel. What about John? Don't you love Peter? Isn't that what we would ask? What about Mike? What about Daisy? And boy, the answer, verse 22, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry or stay alive till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's why it's so dangerous for us. And even when the intentions are good, and we know the heart, you're wanting to serve Jesus. One of the most dangerous things we could do at the prayer center is get you all harnessed up. Get you busy. Tim talks about doing that would be going for the brass when God is offering you the gold. See? God's offering you the gold. Now we have things. If you want to come help, you know, we have opportunities to help. That's fine. You know, you want to volunteer and help. But if you're doing that as a substitute for prayer, we'd rather you just go pray. That's why God sent you. I'm putting myself in that same camp. Man, I'd rather come out here and weed eat in the rain. I remember that time we came and weed eated in the rain. I still have those grass stained pants. I mean, they turned permanently green from the knees down. We weed eated so much that day in the rain trying to get ready for a conference. See, and to me, I was serving Jesus. Run, 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 run. Run with my weed eater out there. Run, run, run. I'm serving you, Jesus. I'd really rather you go pray. Can't hear that. Run, 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 run. I need you to fast. Run. Let me turn it up a little higher. Run. So much easier to weed eat than to go fast and pray. To make the point, he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Now the sin really we're talking about right now, you could say those fleshly things, but really what he's talking about right now is you following you rather than following him. Enough. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of that? Praise the Lord.